Tempe Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. All set up now, folks, for an Indianapolis Colts-Tennessee Titans Week 2 matchup in Nashville. Pretty excited about this one. I'm kind of anxious to see what the Colts can do in Week 2 after they've kind of fudged a little bit in a couple different areas. I'm pretty excited to see what their entire, what they come in and what they can do with the Tennessee Titans team that, quite truthfully, beat the piss out of the Cleveland Browns, who were overhyped this year, no matter what they do after that Week 1 performance. So I think that this is going to be a fun game. I think this will kind of bring both teams down to earth, whether – the Colts' second half was more of their what we can expect from them through this season, or the first half of the Week 1, and then vice versa with the Titans. Is it the first half of their game against the Browns, or the second half that we can expect from them? So this should be pretty exciting. I'm quite interested to see a lot of different things. There's a lot of guys on this Tennessee defense who can really make a difference. So I'm a little excited to see what these guys can do, what the Colts can do with them, what the offensive line can do, and just see if the secondary for the Colts can, kind of maintain, and if that linebacker group can cover as well. So we're going to go through a few things today. This is kind of a late one, Saturday evening podcast, but I want to put something up, especially to kind of hit on a little bit of news that came our way just a little bit ago. So we'll start there right now, and it involves Kamoko Touré. Previous to today, Jabal Sheard and Williams Jonathan Williams were ruled out. Were the only two that were ruled out. There were some non-football injury issues, or non-injury related issues that people were sitting out of practice. Whether it was a just old man issues or what it is at this point, nicks and cuts and bruises and stuff, guys that don't need to be there for the thing. They've been there all healthy all off season and so on up to this point. So rest days are needed, even this early in the season. But Touré was originally a game time decision as of the other day, and had kind of been dealing with this neck injury of his, and it looks like it's getting the better of him, at least this week. He hadn't practiced all week. They were saying, like I said, it was a game time decision. He has now been ruled out. So this brings about a couple things. Now the Colts, have a guy who was really good off the edge last week, especially on passing downs. Was kind of a, I think that kind of goes overlooked, that he was kind of an issue on running downs, which is kind of his thing. But we're going to see what the Colts plan to do with this rotation. I mean, Al-Kadeem Muhammad, Justin Houston, Sheard's not in, Touré's not in, and then it's Banigou. So what are the Colts going to do? Are they just rotating those guys? I mean, how do you see this rotation going? You've got two guys that are old, or a guy that's older than the rest with Houston. So we've got basically three healthy defensive ends. But they've got some versatility. They've got some versatility in Marcus Hunt. They've got some versatility in Tyquan Lewis, which I want to talk about here in a minute. But that's kind of it right now on the edge. So I think the Colts might be a little shorthanded there. They're going to they have enough guys in those three, and they're talented enough that they can make a difference. Okay, but you're going to have three guys rotating in and out. That's not enough. So I think they're going to have to put one of these guys that have a little bit of versatility out there on the edge, if nothing, to give them a breather. And you know what? We're going to kind of start with that. And in terms of team injury news, that's it, guys. So, I mean, those three are out. Everybody else seems that they're going to be okay, that they're going to play. It just kind of feels like we're pretty healthy right now, and the Colts are kind of lucking out with that. So let's move on then to this discussion with the defensive ends. I think that it's going to be Tyquan Lewis on the edge. Now, with the kind of, I mean, it doesn't seem cryptic, but it does. It doesn't add up, the thought process of him not being in game shape or whatever the case may be from the coaching staff. It is what it is. If that's what it is, so be it. It just doesn't seem likely, because he's practiced quite a bit since his injury. Other guys have done the same thing. They're getting snaps. To have him inactive last week was still pretty odd. So Tyquan Lewis this week, he's going to have to be active. I mean, he's going to have to be because of those guys being out. And I think that that's who they use off the edge a little bit to give these guys a breather. And I think that he can succeed. And I think he can excel. If you remember, Tyquan Lewis was an edge coming out of Ohio State. I did a film thing on him, and you guys can go check that out on our YouTube page for the podcast. But one of the things that I noticed most about him, obviously, and the Colts noticed it too, is that he is most effective on the interior because of his explosion and his burst coming through there. One quick move, and he is, you know, already pinching the center and the guard, or the guard and the tackle. Either way, he can get through and make some noise. But I like him off the edge, especially in this one, okay? And the reason I like him off the edge is because he's kind of a tweener in weight. I mean, he's just a little lighter than the rest of those defensive tackles in there, aside from Grover Stewart, who's significantly heavier than everybody. But he's 277, where the rest of these guys are in their 280s. Even Marcus Hunt's 290, but he's 11 foot tall, so of course. But then you look at the rest of the DNs, and he's heavier than all of them. Okay, 252, 270, 250, 268, 248. And then you've got Tyquan Lewis, this guy who can run both defensive tackle, defensive end, and he's a little more powerful. Now, the Colts are going to have a pretty solid situation ahead of them because there's some injuries there on the Tennessee Titans offensive line. And I think that this is kind of critical and kind of important to talk about. Okay, so right now, what the Titans are looking at is that Reggie Gilbert and Kevin Pamphile are out. Delanie Walker, he's going to play. Cameron Wake, David Flewellen, he's questionable. Jarrell Casey, he's also good to go. No big deal. Limited practice. His was a hip injury. So the Colts need to take advantage of some of that. But they also need to do everything they can to get themselves, you know, acclimated to who they're going to be playing against. And I think when you have a little bit heavier of a guy like Tyquan Lewis, he's going to be able to take advantage of some of that. And so I'm kind of excited to see that. I'm hoping that they'll use him in both positions because I think that it'll be nice. They'll be able to mix guys around. They'll be able to double up on sides if they want to. There's going to be a lot of things like that that I think that the Colts are going to be able to take advantage of. So I'm excited for this matchup. I'm excited to see him there. And we'll just have to see how that all, you know, kind of plays out. But I would expect Tyquan Lewis to get some significant snaps at defensive end this weekend. It may be Marcus Hunt. They seem to like him there too. I just can't get on board with that when you've got a guy like Tyquan Lewis who has a pretty solid pass rush move and, you know, and can also do about everything. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. And I think that Tyquan Lewis may get a little bit of, you know, a reprieve this week because of his being, you know, inactive last week. And, you know, kind of will kind of hush the crowd, kind of hush everybody. And if it's an issue between he and the coaches, then it might hush that too. And I think the Colts could use that. I think the Colts need to see a guy who is, you know, on top of it, more than physically and mentally capable to do it. And, you know, if there's something going on there where he's kind of a, you know, whatever, a disaster, then, you know, hopefully he'll get it together. That's definitely what we're looking for. I just think that he's going to see a lot of snaps at defensive end on Sunday. Another position that we're looking at for injuries and people who are going to be out, obviously we see now that Devin Funchess is on injured reserve. He's not coming back, I think, until they said at earliest week 10. This is also kind of interesting. A lot of people are saying, and it makes sense, so I'm not trying to, you know, disregard or anything like that what they're saying, but a lot of people are saying, well, this is Deion Kane's coming out party. I love Deion Kane, so that's not where I'm at. My thing is you're looking at a guy who's great with Yak, who's a little bit taller than most of them, aside from Zach Pascal, has kind of waited for this, you know, coming off the injury, playing well in the preseason, only got a few snaps in week one, but made him count, showed us really what he could do in preseason. I think that he's going to get more touches. Don't get me wrong. But he's not going to play. I just don't see that he plays the Devin Funchess role. He may be the number two wide receiver in this group when it comes down to it this Sunday, tomorrow. I just don't think that too many people are equating him to he's going to be in that Devin Funchess role. I don't think that's how the Colts are going to use him personally. I don't think they're going to use him a ton over the middle, shallow middle on those crossing routes. I think they're going to use him a little bit deeper. They don't want him to get hurt. He's just over 200 pounds. I don't think that that's what they're wanting from him. Just my opinion. You've got Paris Campbell. When I'm sitting there looking at him and I'm thinking, he's not quite as tall, but it's not that they need a massive guy who's 6'4", 6'5", to take that role. They need a guy who's just physically more capable to withstand some of the punishment. Now, Campbell, also great with yak, or is going to be good with yak. We do definitely believe this. He's got good hands. A couple snaps in week one. He's going to come back, and he's going to get more snaps this week too. Don't see him necessarily playing the Devin Funchess role. Here's where I'm at. If there is a guy on the roster who is expected to fulfill the Devin Funchess role to where the Colts can maintain their offensive play calling, kind of the way that they're going to set up this matchup with the Titans secondary, Funchess doesn't get a ton of targets. He's used for a couple reasons: to keep those linebackers honest on the underneath routes, to be a physical presence with the ball so that he doesn't get knocked around and beat up, and to open up some of the deeper routes, obviously, and to be able to, he has some wheels, so he's there to take the top off. I see that being more of a Deion Kane, Paris Campbell, T.Y. Hilton area, whereas even though Zach Pascal has some wheels, he's bigger than the rest of these guys. He's bigger than all of them. And if we're going to see a guy fulfill, man, I am struggling with my F's, fulfill the Funchess rule, I think it's going to be Zach Pascal. He's heavier than all of them. He's got wheels. He's more, in my opinion, I like him better on the underneath routes. He's going to have to be a better hands catcher, though, this week. But I'm looking to him. I'm looking to Zach Pascal to get more attention on that. I think that if there's somebody that they put in there, it's Pascal. It's not because they think he's better than Kane or Campbell or anybody else. I just think that's what Zach Pascal is here to do. They're looking at him going, hey, you're the guy. You're the guy who we want to be Funchess's backup, more or less, because of your size, because of your ability to take a little more punishment, possibly, to be able to take some of this more physical approach. And they're going to have a physical approach with the Titans. There's no two ways about that. So I think Pascal might be a little bit of a sleeper here. I'm kind of interested to watch that. I think that Kane and Campbell are going to have a really good game. I think they're going to have 4 to 5 catches, maybe 5 to 7 targets throughout the game, both of them. I think you only see Pascal with 5 or less, but I think Pascal will be there fulfilling that role, and hopefully we can see something come over the top with Kane, Campbell, or Hilton. So I'm not necessarily on board with Kane fulfilling that role. I just think that he's going to get more time in there. And he may get a touchdown. He may not. But I think when you're really looking for a guy to be Funchess 2.0 in this offense, I think it's Pascal. So we'll see what that brings about. But we're going to come back with some more talking about the Colts and Titans in week two right after this break.
Okay, guys, I want to talk to you about TickPick. TickPick is a great way to get tickets to see the Colts or any other sports, music, or entertainment event of your choice. Not only will you save 10 to 15% off every ticket order, you can do it without any annoying fees at checkout. Think StubHub, but without the fees. Just head to TickPick.com, select your seats, and head to checkout. Get on your way to the next Colts game with TickPick.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Colts Cast. Let's see. We're going to go and we're going to talk about the Colts defense right now. A little bit of a prediction here. I'm going to space these out. I've got a couple of them for this week. So let's go to the defense. Let's just have a general conversation about these guys. And then I'm going to throw a prediction at you for the defense this week against Titans offense. I want to see, everybody's talking about the Darius Leonard grade, how he got an F and how it was the worst game they'd ever seen from him. I thought that Anthony Walker played a good game. You look at him in the first quarter, the first half, he is everywhere. He's physical. He was going after the ball. He was the guy that jumped out to me in the first half. Now, granted, he wasn't great or perfect or anything like that. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying that the nice combination of Walker and Leonard is what the Colts, what Colts fans should be excited about. Leonard is going is that massive ceiling guy. Walker's going to be your steady Freddy guy. You know, he's going to be the guy who stays underneath, solid coverage, not great, but he's the guy who's just going to make stops and move on. And I think you expect a little more of the splash from Leonard, the occasional sack, the strip. You know, all that stuff. And Eberflus and the team, they talked about it, the order in which, you know, you tackle, wrap, and strip. You know, that's the order that they wanted to go by. Obviously, they got out of order last week, and it was a disaster with catching or with tackles after the catch and late in long yardage runs for on the ground. I just think that you're going to see a largely revitalized defense. I don't think they're going to be significantly better, okay? We remember the long plays. Let's look at the actual statistics. Now, I'm not trying to say that we're stat monkeys here, but here's the thing. The Colts gave up 125 yards on the ground last week. That's not great. That sure as hell ain't bad, okay? I mean, they... right in the low 20s, in terms of the league. But if you get up to 15th, which was where the Titans were ranked after just 1 week, they gave up 102 yards. You're trying to tell me that 23 yards is that big a deal throughout the game? Now, if it's scoring, you know, that's one thing. But if it's just 23 yards, it's just 23 yards. Okay, here's where it comes in. The Colts gave up 6 yards per carry. The Titans gave up 5.1. There are other, I mean, even the Arizona Cardinals, they gave up 116, but they only gave up 3.6 yards per carry. That's where it's at. So if you want to look at per carry and what the Colts did, the Colts are a little further down, right? The Colts are, I think they're in the high 20s, the 27, 28 range, actually, with 6 yards per carry. And even though the Dolphins gave up 265 yards of rushing, they were at 5.8. So they didn't even give up as much as the Colts did. That's the problem. It's the per carry. It's not the yardage. A lot of people are worried about all this yardage, but it's not the yardage. It's the per carry. And the Colts put up 203 yards on the ground last week. So let's look at the difference there, whereas we can't accept long plays. Lots of yak. They it cannot happen. And not even that. Yards after contact in terms of for the running backs, but yards after the catch with the receivers as well. The Colts have to be better tacklers. They've got to get deeper in their zones, especially the linebackers. The move and all the movement between man and zone coverage with the secondary seem to have thrown them a bit for a loop last week. The Colts need to tighten it up and be better at that. I don't think Marcus Mariota is all that special. I'm not a huge fan of him. I don't think that he is some sort of a top 10, top 15 quarterback. I simply don't. But he's plenty good enough to eat the Colts alive underneath and then make a couple shots. That's where it comes. The Colts have to get to him before he can get comfortable. You're also looking at the running game. The Colts are not taking on Eckler this week, okay? I mean, he's a little, he's not a little dude, but he's much smaller than Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry's an ass kicker. And Derrick Henry's going to come through that line looking for contact. They've got their change of pace guys, Deion Lewis and Flewellen, a little bit. But you've got a Derrick Henry here who's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's a guy who's going to be able to shake them off. And we saw the Colts last year, you know, their big plays were by Derrick Henry, long runs after contact. That cannot happen this week. The Colts have to tighten it up. The Colts have to be better run defenders, but it's not that they need to worry about all the yardage. They have to be able to keep the big plays from happening. If they're chucking down, they're chucking down. Look, the Colts could give up 125 yards this week, and we'll be talking about after the game how great they did. Why? Because they forced the Titans to run the ball and then pass it. And then the Colts, you know, haven't given up any big plays. That's what the Colts need. Can't give up the big plays. That killed them in week one. That was one of the things we didn't have to worry about in 2018. One of the things the Colts really held down pretty tight was their big plays, and they didn't allow a whole bunch. So that's another thing that I think that we're going to look for the Colts to improve on. Now, defensively, in terms of prediction, I like this defense. I really do. I don't have a ton of confidence in them going into week two because I feel like they're still going to be in their zones. They're still going to allow Marcus Mariota to get in some sort of a rhythm, which is dangerous, but I still think it's going to happen. I think the Colts actually turn the ball over two or three times in this one defensively. I think they're going to go after Mariota. I think they're going to get him from the interior this week because they didn't play worth a crap last week on the interior of the line. They weren't getting any pressure. It was all from the edges. I like the thought of Grover Stewart, maybe even Marcus Hunt getting through, causing a strip sack. I like the fact that I think everybody is well on board and they're very aware of what kind of game they played last week and how poorly they tackled. And I think you're going to see this Colts team come back, and they're going to wrap up. They're going to force some turnovers, and this is what this team is going to do. So I'm going to say three turnovers for this defense. I know it seems high, but it just is the way this team's built. It simply is that this team was so pissed off after their week one loss. They were so disappointed in their inability to kind of focus on getting the ball carrier to the ground that the only thing that they were really trying to do it's a turnover on the muff punt. You know, you get the nice pick in the end zone from Malik Hooker. They're going to force a couple fumbles this week. Without question. That's just where I'm at. I think, and they know that they have to. I think they know that they absolutely have to. And they can't. I think it'll be early. I think the Colts know that they need to get a step ahead of the Titans early. And they need to make Marcus Mariota try to earn it by passing the ball a lot. So if they can do that, you take Derrick Henry off the field. He's not much in the passing game. And then you force Mariota to try to beat you through the air. That is a game plan that will win the game for the Colts, without question. So I'm excited for this defense. I'm a little worried that they're going to have a rough game, but I would love to see them kind of smack Mariota right in the mouth, right from the jump, get some pressure, force him to go to the air, and then, you know, kind of just sit there and marinate on him all day long and do what they got to do. So we're looking at that for my prediction for the defense. A lot of things that we're going to run into when we hear the broadcast tomorrow afternoon, we're going to hear about Marlon Mack, big 170, 400, whatever it is that he ran for in week one. What can he do in week two? I'm just not going to give him 100 yards in week two. He ended last season running the ball very well. He started this season running the ball very well. Now, one of the things I've said previous was that he's not a power guy, and he's not. Don't expect Marlon Mack to plow through the defensive line and come out the other end. That's not his game. I give him credit for continuing to go on that goal line two-point conversion. That's not his game. That's why I thought that it took some massive balls from Frank Reich to call that play right there. It just did, especially when it got kind of, you know, there was a lump there of players, and I just thought, ugh, he's going to get stopped 2 yards short. He came out the other end. It wasn't power, though, okay? But that's what we're looking for, and I don't think we're going to get that from Mack. I don't think we're going to ever see him be a guy dragging people down the field, even though he's got some good size. He is just not a big-time power guy. He's not going to initiate that contact any more than he absolutely has to. So I'm not giving him 100 yards. That's part of my prediction. The other part of my prediction is that I think we see Jordan Wilkins, and I'm going to give him more than 50 yards rushing. Okay. So I think the Colts in general will rush the ball pretty well collectively, but I think Jordan Wilkins is going to have to come in, and I think Jordan Wilkins is going to have to, really put some fear into that defensive line of the Titans, and he's going to have to come in and be a physical guy. Now, it could be Jonathan Williams as well. I'm going to say Jordan Wilkins because I just would rather see him doing that. I think that he might be a little bit better suited for it. He and Jonathan Williams are about the same size. I'd just rather see Jordan Wilkins, because when he's got some open lane, I think Jordan Wilkins is a little bit better in the open field. So I'm going to say that I think Jordan Wilkins has over 50 yards and a touchdown on Sunday. That's bold from me, I think, because that's just not what anybody's going to be talking about. It's going to be Marlon Mack 100 times out of 100 when people are talking about the Colts' ground attack. And Nyheim Hines is no sort of a running back in terms of being able to go between the tackles. Occasionally he'll have a nice little run, but there's nothing consistent from him. He is a weapon. He is not a running back, in my opinion. So you've got Wilkins, Mack, and Williams. I look for Wilkins to have a big game this weekend. So let's move on to the score. I think that I think the Colts obviously kind of have the Titans' number in this. Then again, it's not Andrew Luck, folks. Okay, this is Jacoby Brissett, 0-2 last year against the Titans. I'm going to completely wipe that clean, because that doesn't make any difference on what's going to happen this year. This is a different offense. In 2017, not last year. This is a way different offense than Jacoby Brissett played in 2017. He's got so many more weapons. He's got a more stable offensive line who is going to protect him, who is going to allow the running backs to get some lanes that are not going to be beat off at the line of scrimmage anywhere near as much as the group that was blocking for him in 2017. I really like the thought of the Colts going in and starting hot in this game. I really do. And I don't necessarily think the Colts will run away with it, but I think the Colts are going to give themselves enough of a cushion to where they can kind of play their game slow and steady, take the occasional shot, and I think it's going to work out for the Colts. So look, Tennessee, they're still riding high off that game. I think it was a fluke in week one, personally, but they've got some talent. I'm going with the Colts 28-24 in this one. I realize I should have probably picked a different number, like 27 or something like that, simply because Vinatieri wasn't good in week one, and I don't know if he's going to be good the rest of the year. We can all talk about, you know, don't hate him after 1 week. It's not that big a deal. This is kind of a thing that he's been doing a lot lately, so I'm a little nervous about having to use Vinatieri at all. Don't be surprised if you see the Colts go for two a couple times in this game if Vinatieri's not 100%. If they know something we don't, look for Frank Reich to get a little aggressive. And I think Frank Reich will be much more aggressive this week as well, trying to kind of take that secondary of the Titans that was so formidable last week and kind of get them off balance and see what they're truly made of. So 28-24 Colts in this one, week two win. I definitely picked them earlier when we had with Jim Campbell and I, where we had the first quarter of the season predictions. I'm definitely sticking with that pick, and hopefully the Colts can bring one home. So no Kamoko Touré, no Jabal Sheard, and the Colts are going to have to do a little bit off the edge, but the interior needs to rise big time. So folks, that's all I got for this week. We'll have a show up Sunday night after the game. So be looking for that Monday morning, Sunday night, whichever your preference is. But the Colts really need to not go 0-2 in this. I think it feels like it's a little pertinent here. The Colts have started 0-2 so many times. They've kind of righted the ship or leveled out their season. They can't afford that this year, in my opinion. They have got too many things that they just can't allow to happen. They can't allow the locker room to get upset. They've got to keep these guys positive and on the right track, and hopefully that'll happen after this. So thank you guys all for listening. I'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.